tell you that this meeting will be recorded, and the sound recording will subsequently be made available via the council's website at charnwood.gov.uk/pages/committees. In addition, please be advised that under the Openness of Local Government Bodies Regulation 2014, that other people may film, record, tweet or blog from this meeting. The use of any images or sound recording is not under the control of this council. If you have any queries about these arrangements, please speak to the Democratic Services Officer who is administering the meeting. Okay. Thank you. Before we go any further, I'd like to welcome Julie Jones, who is our new parish representative. And before we go round the table and give our names, I want to say a big thank you to Betty Crick. Now, Betty was on this committee when I came on it 5 years ago, and she stood in on panels and everything else, and she came to the meetings, and I would like it recorded that I would like to send her, I would like to send her a thank you card from this committee, if we could please, to say thank you for all the work that she put in, and she really was a sterling character. So thank you, Betty. So now, can I go round the table and starting with Ian and introduce each person?
Borough Councillor Ian Bentley.
Borough Councillor Julie Bradshaw.
Borough Councillor Leon Kajanikolaou, Lothlin.
I'm Julie Jones, Chairman, Sowerby Parish Council.
I'm Colin Hamilton, I'm the Borough Councillor for Loughborough Hastings.
Ken Pacey, Borough Councillor of Charnwood, and I'm standing in for Paul Murphy.
Dennis Marchant, and I'm Parish Representative from Quorn, where I'm the Chairman.
Nikki Connolly, Democratic Services Officer, Clerk of the Committee.
Adrian Ward, Monitoring Officer.
And I'm Councillor Joan Tasselborough for Shepshed West. Right, we've got apologies, please.
Councillor Murphy and Councillor Ball. We have Councillor Pacey substituting as a reserve for Councillor Murphy.
Minutes of the previous meeting, those of you here, have you had a good read of them and do you agree with them?
Yeah, moving, Chair.
All in agreement? Okay, thank you. Disclosure of pecuniary and personal interests. Any? No. Questions under committee procedure 12.8. No questions have been received. Update on complaints received, and I'm going to hand over to Adrian.
Thank you, Chair. So this is the standard report that the committee gets at each meeting, summarising the total number of complaints we've received to date and giving a bit of detail about the fresh complaints that have come in since the last committee meeting. You'll see that we've had three new complaints since the committee last met, two about borough councillors and one about two parish councillors, although there's one complaint about two councillors. The fact-finding reviews were completed for all of those complaints, and it was decided that they didn't merit any further investigation or action. The independent persons were consulted about each of the three complaints and they agreed with that course of action. The second complaint about borough council, we did have an appeal from the complainant against that decision. So the details were sent to the chair and vice chair of the committee to decide whether they wanted to refer the matter to a panel, and they both decided they didn't. So the appeal was not upheld in that case. That's all I have to say, really, Chair. One other thing. We have an update from Quorn in relation to the hearing that we undertook a few weeks ago, just to confirm that the apology that the panel recommended should be given has now been given.
Okay. Right. The next item is disclosable pecuniary interest, and this is on page if you look on I didn't find it, Adrian. Page 10 and 11. Can I hand over to you then, please?
Yep, thank you, Chair. So all councillors in the room will be aware that within 28 days of being elected, you have to submit a register of interest forms to me, setting out particularly any disclosable pecuniary interests that you might have under the relevant legislation. We've had all of those in for our borough councillors, but as set out in the report, there are a number still outstanding for some of our parish councillors. We have issued reminders. I issued quite a stern reminder to parish clerks at the beginning of August, saying that this report would be coming to the committee, and one of the potential options that we would be thinking of is making a report to the police. That did reduce the numbers quite significantly. I think there were over 30 outstanding at that time. It went down to 18 at the time I wrote this report, and I'm pleased to say we've had some more in since then, Chair. So we're now, having just checked my emails, we're now down to 8 outstanding, which is one from Barrow upon Soar, one from Mount Sorrel, one from Ratcliffe on the Reek, one from Rothley, one from Sileby, two from Syston, and one from Walton on the Wolds. So there is no legal duty or obligation for the Borough Council, for me as the monitoring officer, to take any follow-up action in relation to non-disclosures. The councillors who fail to make the disclosures when they're required to are, under the legislation, committing an offence, so all of the risk rests with the councillors who've not met the legal requirements. There are some further options I've given you as a committee to think about, so we could take no further action. You could ask me to either potentially issue a further reminder or just write again to the parish clerks where there are still returns outstanding, just naming their names again and saying, just for information, you know, final reminder, we're not proposing to do anything else. It's the councillor's own responsibility. Or you could, sort of the nuclear option, ask me to make a report to the police listing the names of the individual councillors. And I have said in the report, there is no statutory responsibility for us to do this. We do it really to prevent parish councillors falling foul of the legislation inadvertently. It does take quite a lot of office time. It takes quite a lot of democratic services, administration time, and my own personal time. So some parish councillors did take exception to the email I sent out at the beginning of August with the mention of the referral to the police, but I do think it was just setting out the statutory factual position. Anybody, any member of the public, could make a report to the police at any time for councillors who have not met the statutory requirements. So, but I just thought it was worth making you aware that some parish councillors did object to the strength of the words I used in that email, Chair.
Can I just query something? Barkby and Barkby Thorpe, how many councillors does that particular council have?
5.
So none of them?
We've had them in, though.
We've had them in now. Oh,
there are now none outstanding for Barkby and Barkby Thorpe.
Okay. Thank you.
Ian? Kevin first.
Sorry.
Chair, can I just ask whether it's okay for members of parish council like myself to report on what you've just said? Is there any problem with that? Or
I don't see any problem at all, Chair. I mean, this is a public meeting. You are here as your representatives of elected representatives. And there's no, I don't see any problem.
So we can report that back at our own council meeting.
Yes.
Thank you.
After the end.
Now, I think that just to say, I think that what Adrian's done was absolutely correct, and the strength of it was probably correct as well.
I
think actually, at any stage, reporting these councillors to the police would be probably going a little far. I propose that we don't do that. But I think that you are correct in the way you've handled it so far.
Okay. Do we have a seconder for Councillor Bentley's proposal?
Thank you. I fully agree with, if I may, with Ian. I mean, taking the issue of the police a bit too far. Now, can I highlight actually on my side the issue I just mentioned to Nikki? My emails stopped working for some reason on the 6th of June. So I don't know whether, I hope actually I'm not one of the ones in Rothley.
I don't think you're a parish councillor.
No, I'm not.
So yes, we've had all the borough councillor ones in.
But can I also, you know, ask, do we have to declare pecuniary interest or conflict of interest to our work that we are borough councillors?
That will depend on your own employer's requirements.
I'm an NHS employee. Do I have to declare conflict of interest?
I honestly can't answer that.
It depends on your contract. I would have thought if it's in your works contract, then yes. But if it's not, then I don't see why there's going to be any conflict.
Okay.
The only thing we can come through with, because we don't know what you're, as far as I, if I was at work, I wouldn't declare it that I was a councillor, a parish councillor, or anything. Can you turn your thing on?
Yes.
Councillor Hamilton, sorry.
It was just from personal experiences, for us it's quite the contrary. although I'm retired now, our company used to encourage what they regard part of community, and so they would deliberately allow time for that. And so they were quite happy to be told, because for them they're ticking a box to show that they're actually kind of engaged in the wider society as part of their kind of community, I suppose, outreach.
But there's no law to say
that
you have to notify them unless it's part of your contract. And that's Councillor Martin.
Chair, can I just take the opportunity to say thank you to the officers and to the monitoring office for the job that they do. I know it's over and above what they need to do in notifying parish councils of the need for these to be returned within the time frame. It is appreciated.
Thank you very much. So, Chair, I agree with what's been said so far on this issue, but I have to remain, I always remain uncomfortable if I'm aware an offence is being committed and I sit in my hat and I sit in my hands and do nothing. And therefore I'd be more comfortable if we just have one last say, and it is, I think it should be strongly worded, no, just saying, look, this is, be aware you are committing an offence.
That was the most word what I used at the beginning of August. I'm quite happy to do it again if that's the view of the committee.
How do you all feel about that? You in favour?
Yeah, well, I'm in favour, but maybe you could word it in that, yeah, if this is something you don't feel that you can do, perhaps you should consider resigning as a parish councillor. Just a thought.
My hesitation there, Chair, is the feedback I've had from some individual parish councillors who didn't like the wording of my last reminder. One of them did resign as a result of my reminder, was the way it was put. Not the statutory requirement to do it. It was my reminder that caused him to resign.
Through you, Chair, I don't think you're to blame.
Yeah, can I just state that, I mean, the people might be uncomfortable because they might see a clash of, you know, privacy versus, you know, their obligation of being a parish councillor. And it just might be whether you highlight that, if that's what they feel. It is a balance. And therefore, if they feel that their desires for personal privacy override everything else, then they should reflect on whether or not they should be a councillor, a parish councillor that requires them to actually reveal such information for reasons of transparency.
It's rather interesting because I've been to a parish meeting this afternoon with the town manager who has a problem with this, and actually giving things like addresses and telephone numbers and things out. So I agree exactly with what you're saying that we should send another letter and try and get it sorted out.
Now the legislation is that you don't have to address. If you want to withhold it, you can do.
In some cases, they're not even given the local council address, so they cannot be contacted, and that I find totally unacceptable.
That defeats the object of being a councillor, doesn't it?
You're an elected member by the public, and as such, I think you should make yourself available. Yeah. If you don't want to do that with your own telephone information, then there should be a route by which people can get hold of you. Mm-hmm. Personal opinion.
If I may, Chair, on the point of the information that is being disclosed, we have an awful lot of parish and town councillors who in every single box on their register of interest forms have just put none, 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 none. Now that suggests to me that they and their spouses have no employment, which may be perfectly correct. It also suggests to me that they don't have homes in the area of the parish, which again may be correct, but we don't have time to go back to all of them, but 9 times out of 10 when we have gone back and challenged them, they said, I didn't realise I had to give my home
address.
I didn't realise I had to give my spouse's employment. So I think the quality of some of the declarations we have, although I have no way of checking it, may also be.
Do you think that's a knowledge thing? Do you think it's something that they're not aware of how to fill the forms in from a training perspective?
It may well be that.
Through you, Chair. I think if you can't fill out a form, that's a little worrying if you're sat on the parish council with certain responsibilities. Through you, Chair. I think if people take up the position of a parish councillor, they know what's expected of them right from the outset. If they don't want to provide this information, they shouldn't put up as parish councillors. Now, I've come back to the suggestion that if you really don't feel as if you want to give this information, which is a necessity, then a suggestion should be made that perhaps they should stand down.
Councillor Bradshaw.
In regard to what Councillor Hamilton said about emailing them once again, what about something like emailing the last email, just putting on it, I know you haven't responded, and is there a reason why could we help you?
That's a good idea.
A little bit softer, isn't it? And then you could say, of course, what you've got to realise is you're committing a criminal offence by not completing the form, and leave it at that. Yes, I think that was a good idea. So are we all in favour of Adrian writing to the remaining... does this mean writing... Now, did you write to the clerks each time?
We write to the clerks, Chair, because we don't have the capacity... Originally, when we're dealing with the full number of the parish, we don't have the capacity to write to them all individually, because we are now down to single figures.
We could do. That's because I know when we talk to our clerk about it, she will say, "Well, it's up to the councillors themselves. It's up to them." And she sends the email out that you send to her, so we all see it. But that's it. So if you could write to each individual one now, we've got just eight of them that could. Receive a letter. Are we all in favour of that? We've got a proposal on the table that we write again, but the amendment is this, that we ask Adrian to write to the individual ones.
I think that's wise, Chair.
Are we all in favour?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Can I clarify the purposes of the minutes then, that you're going to write to each individual councillor with the recommendation that Councillor Bradshaw made of saying, yes. Is there any reason why you're not responding?
Yes.
Thank you. Through you, Chair, and possibly to add to that, if there's any clarity needed, that maybe they could contact yourself or Adrian for advice. And then we've done all we can do.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a very good idea. We'll put that amendment on as well then.
Okay, thank you, Chair.
We've tried the big stick and this is the carrot.
Yeah. Right, the next item is mandatory standards and probity training. Now, this particular training programme, we have already done it twice, and there are still people outstanding. Now, this was considered one of the mandatory training sessions, which was put on, but we need to know now, through this committee, do you feel that we are in a position to put on another training? How many people, do you say 14?
14.
There's 14 councillors that haven't attended this particular training. Now, it may be the fact that they are all re-elected and they've done it and had experience from previous years. But it was made a mandatory one. And it's money. It costs officers money and it costs councillors time. So are this group of the opinion that we should put this on again for the 14 people? Or the alternative is what Adrian has come up with, is to do it during working hours so that we are not having the officers at night off of the working day. What are the opinions?
Could I also just say that the two sessions we have run already were evening sessions, so if there are councillors who struggle to attend an evening session, it may be that a daytime session would suit them better. But what I want to try and avoid is running another 2, 3, 4, 5 sessions to try and hoover up everybody, if that makes sense.
Can I have your opinion?
So through you, Chair, would it be sensible then to write to the 14 for an opinion as to what would suit them best and then try and arrange something around that? Try and arrange it and then hopefully everybody can make it.
Yeah, as one of the 14, I will admit to, I think there can be some genuine cases. Now, in my own case, I couldn't make the first one, so I'm going to make the second one. And on the second one, I was taken ill. So there wasn't even time to send an apology. Now, there must be some others. I'm not saying everybody by any means, but there must be others in that situation. And very often when you have to, you pick the one which suits and you put it in your diary, and if something happens on that night, then you have missed out. I think the idea of a daytime one might be a solution or a help. But you've got to remember that some of those people that couldn't make it won't be able to make a daytime one because they're at work. I understand the money and the monetary side of things, but perhaps you need two. One in the evening, one in the daytime, and after that, you've done everything that you can. But that will only be a suggestion from me.
Through you, Chair. If we have a panel, then Nicky will call every member that's going to be on that panel and say, can you do these dates? And it's then collects it all together and makes sure that everybody can do it.
Don't mind that way.
So if this is just 14 people, hopefully, and that probably needs a little bit more work, but if I'm trying to sort of wrap it up in one, I mean, nobody can help being ill or other emergencies, but at least you're going to sort of narrow it down a bit. I know that probably puts more work on Nikki, but she's got broad shoulders.
Councillor Leon, did you want to say something? Oh, sorry, I thought you put your hand up.
No, I just pushed my glass.
Oh, sorry! Sorry.
So, please try to avoid that.
It's a good job you're not at an auction then, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
Auction
yes.
Of Porterhouse. So,
I think through you, Chair, that what Councillor Bentley suggests is an option with the 14 councillors. And in terms of evening versus daytime, my understanding is that councillors are allowed to have some time off for being a councillor. So if the training session was set up, say, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, then somebody who was at work might only have to leave an hour early. So, and then that would mean that the officers weren't staying particularly late beyond their working hours. So I don't know whether you wish to recommend that I work with Adrian to find a suitable date.
Yeah, and yes, I think that's a good idea because.
I'll second that proposal.
Yes, yes, I think it's a very good idea. You do it from 4:30. Anyone?
Can I just say, because I'll admit I'm one of them, but I travel quite a bit with my business. I also work daytime and evening with clients, and sometimes, because I'm a psychotherapist, sometimes I get emergencies, and obviously they can be deemed more important. What happens if the trainers, if the two trainings, for example, myself, can't get to because of all those situations?
Is there any chance that we could do... In a situation like that, is there any chance that we could do a private training?
It's possible. The my only hesitation, Chair, is because obviously each time we do this, it's probably 2 hours of officer time.
Mm.
So we can carry on and on and on, but yeah. Every time we do it, unfortunately, you know, officers do have a finite amount of time available, and it does sadly detract from other things.
Did we send? I can't remember, but did we send out copies of slides for this?
The slides are available, so, but obviously, what you won't have with just the slides, if you won't have the explanation behind them.
No. I was just trying to think what.
And the other potential option, Chair, is we do it in one of the committee rooms, we sound record it, and we make the slides and the sound recording available to councillors who can't make the particular session.
Councillor Pearson.
Chair, some time ago, I think that's an excellent idea, but we did, a few years ago, send something out on a CD. And they're not over expensive, I don't think, to copy. I don't know what they're like to actually make the first one, but if you could do the presentation on a CD and send it to anybody or everybody that needs it, in fact, it might be an idea to just send one to every all the councillors.
Oh, sorry.
If you're going to record it, then it might be an idea.
I'm happy if myself and Nikki can arrange that further session. If we can sound record it and make the slides and the sound recording available, I think then any councillors who couldn't attend it then have the opportunity to see the slides and the explanation.
Does that suit you then?
Yes, that would be good.
Right, so yeah, are we in favour then that we look at another session, one more session, recorded and used as a training session for the ones that can't? And then if they can't come to the recorded session, then...
Well,
it's just too bad, but Leon.
It's inevitable to compare, you know, the situation here with NHS. But actually, in the NHS, we have a reminder. We have a continuous reminder about the mandatory training because we have about actually 20 mandatory trainings every year. So they remind you when it expires. So can we have a similar system to remind actually councillors when their mandatory training is due?
Well, you get your invite, don't you? You get your invite where you accept it or decline it.
I think...
But sometimes those come through quite a while before the actual
event.
If
you think about it, this is an individual sort of... year, because this year it was an election year, so we had an induction programme which had a lot of training on there, and some of that was mandatory, and the standards and probity was mandatory. So on an ordinary year, when the committee is chosen and the membership's chosen, then there's standards and probity training done then, but it might be, say, you've only got one session to be thinking about.
I must admit, having just said that, and having done a considerable number of years here, this must have been about the worst period for training. In the quality and everything has been superb, and I am a big supporter of training, but the amount there's been in a fairly short space of time was a bit horrendous, I think, because you do have your committee meetings here, and then we have parish meetings and everything else, and I think it was a bit heavy on the amount of training in one go.
Well, if you remember before this election, the council before that, we could not sit on a committee unless we had had training for that committee. So it was before the committee.
Mm.
The training was half an hour before the actual committee, wasn't it, if you remember?
That was fine, yeah. Well,
unless you did that, you could not sit on that committee. But I think this has been a broader variety of training that we've had.
From memory, Chair, the reason why this standards and probity training was made mandatory was because if councillors are re-elected, they will have had their training when they were first elected 4 years before the election. And then if they weren't trained during this induction period, they'd be potentially going 8 years without any training at all on something where potentially if you get it wrong you can end up with a criminal record as a councillor. So I think that's why we identified as being mandatory, and it's more to protect individual councillors than there isn't a requirement, for example, to have done this training to sit on this committee, but it was felt that potentially 8 years for a councillor to go 8 years without any sort of refresher training when they could, if they make a mistake, end up with a criminal record, would probably a bit too excessive.
I wasn't, Chair, saying this shouldn't have been mandatory, and I was just saying the quantity, if you really want to go through all the training and get yourself up to date, the quantity between May and the first few months was pretty excessive.
There was a lot of it. So we're going, but let's go back to this now, and so we're going to ask Nikki and Adrian to look at organising one more session, and to write to the people that have missed and ask them to give a commitment, you give them some dates where they can attend?
I will do it like I do with a panel, where I give a selection of dates that me and Adrian are happy to sort out, and ask them to sort of see where's the majority that can attend.
So we're all happy for them to do that, and to leave it up to them to organise it. Okay.
Yeah. Will you actually write letters or emails?
No, emails.
Well, I'll take that into consideration. I'll send you a letter or I'll ring you up.
Well, my telephone line went down all of a sudden and I lost everything. Because I was with Sky on my telephone and the equipment in the exchange went down and I lost everything. If you were there, you would have known. Councillor Radford was ringing around telling everybody to go contact, if they wanted to contact me, to go to her. Because everything was just dead in my house.
Good old days without electronics.
I know. So we are in sympathy with you.
Thank you.
So that's done that. Okay. Now we'll go on to the work programme.
Chair, it is really just an update report to inform you and remind you of what's scheduled for the next 2 or 3 meetings in the committee. I think you do have quite a busy schedule for the 2nd of December meeting, so it's a question, I think it'd be useful for us to know as officers whether you feel you'll be able to deal with all of those items, or whether you want to maybe consider deferring.
If you look on page 16, that's the work programme for the December meeting.
So you could, for example, defer the update on the register of interest, because that's the 6-monthly update on the reminders. We haven't issued the reminders yet because we're still chasing up the ones we haven't had. So you might want to wish deferring that one, for example, until the meeting after.
I think we could defer that to March 2020. All in agreement? Okay. So we'll put that on the March 2020 one. The review of the constitution, hasn't that already started in some departments?
It's due to start imminently, Chair.
Right, I thought it was.
I'm not sure we've actually sent anything out yet, but it is the annual review, so we will be starting it very shortly. And obviously one of the things this committee leads into is the Code of Conduct, part of the Constitution.
Yeah. A review of the local government ethical standards by the committee of staff. It's a bit awkward because we've got two parties in government that are not really playing the ball, aren't we?
So I thought it was more than that.
Yeah,
so did I.
I'm being kind. So do we really need to do the review of local government at the moment, as we're having 5 weeks of no government?
Well, I think the issue with this is, Chair, the recommendations of the committee went to the government for the government to look into and consider them, whether they wanted to change the legislation. Obviously, the reasons we won't go into it here, the government are probably not concentrating on local government standards at the moment. So therefore, I think by the time you meet in December, it's extremely unlikely that the government will have considered and responded to the recommendations. And therefore, they will just remain a set of recommendations. And I think I'd be very cautious about recommending that we change our own code of conduct or constitution in light of recommendations where that the government haven't had time to consider and legislate on. So you may wish to park that one until the government have responded to the recommendations from the committee and decided what they wish to do with them.
What, any ideas?
It says to be scheduled, so
I think if you
not schedule it yet, then
review the constitution. The original idea was that you would include the recommendations of the Committee on Standards in Public Life. So if you, as Adrian suggested, it's unlikely that's going to have been considered by the government, you may want to put that as a separate item on your work programme to be scheduled once the government has reviewed the recommendations.
Are you in favour of that then? Okay.
Yes.
We'll go with that then.
Okay.
Thank you. And the hearing appeals process on our constitution. Yeah, we have got to look at this. We've got to look at the appeals and the way they're handled. So, yeah, we have got to leave that on. So what we have got then is we're taking off Register of Members' Interests and a review of the local government ethics. So that gives us two gone. So that's not so bad, is it?
What has happened in the past when you've reviewed the planning code, you have invited the lead member and the chair and vice chair of the planning committee.
That's right.
And the head of service. So I don't know if you wish to invite them to the December meeting.
I'll be here anyway.
That's true. I forgot you were the vice chair.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I do think we should invite them. We have done in the past. We really do need to know if there is any changes to the planning regulations and the planning, that the way the plans, the planning officers deal with the members. So, yes, I think we should. So, can you arrange that, please, Councillor Leo?
I have a question, if I may. When there are complaints against individuals, these individuals find themselves under stress. Part of my question is, do we have a time limit of investigating? More, month, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months? Second is, do we have any means of supporting the people who are investigated, because definitely they are under stress?
The answer to the first question, Chair, is no. There is no time limit for completing member conduct investigations. From experience, they do tend to drag on longer than I would like them to. They can take several months for various reasons. It may be something you wish to look at when we review the constitution, is specifying some sort of target timescale to get them completed. The answer to the second question, borough councillors would have access to our counselling service. That tends to be on request. So staff and councillors can access our a completely independent counselling service that we buy into. It's completely confidential, so that could be offered to borough councillors. We don't offer that to parish councillors who are under member conduct investigation, because there will be a cost implication to doing that. That service is a fee-paying service.
Does that answer you?
Well, thank you very much. I would like actually just to discuss the time limit in the future.
Well, I think that's something that we can bring up at on the 2nd of December and have it put into, even have a time limit, a set time limit put into the constitution, that it has to be it has to be not necessarily decided, but at least heard.
From my experience, Chair, there are a number of factors that can influence the time it takes to complete an investigation, and one of them can be the reluctance of the councillor who's been complained about to engage with the process. So I think we'll talk about it more in December, and I'll come up with some options within the report. But for example, if we said it's three months, it's dead after 3 months, and the councillor refuses to engage for 3 months in a way of making the complaint go away, I would be concerned about that.
Yes, I would. But I can understand what Councillor Leon's getting at. It is a stressful time for people that have been complained against, and it can have other implications, and I can understand where he's coming from. And I do think we ought to start to look at it, and even if it means not putting a time limit on it, but some words that, you know, can we... For December, you have a look at it.
And we will. We can do, Chair, yes.
That's right. Okay, anything else? You've got the meeting dates, the 2nd of December and the 16th of March 2020. That's it. Thank you very much. That's closed the meeting.
Yep.
That's it.
Don't forget the mince pies.
You and your flipping mince pies.